Isn't it good to be here on the Lord's Day? Do you feel that? Isn't that lovely that we can meet here freely on the Lord's Day? And if you are a stranger here, it's so good to see you. It's so good to have you here. And I would like just to tell you something just before I pray and before I preach, is that I believe that this book is the Word of God. I believe in its inspiration, in its inerrancy, and that it is God's revelation to us. And I treat it as that. It's something which God has given us. If we did not have this book, we would have no idea of the character and the nature and the forgiveness which God brings to mankind. And so it's with that in mind, I come to preach. What a privilege and what a wonderful time to open the Word of God. My text is from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm going to read from Psalm 40. Psalm 40, just five verses there. And I've given my sermon a title. There's a mistake, perhaps, in one word. Tried once and failed. Jesus Christ, the only hope for 2019. The mistake, perhaps, is the word once. Tried once and failed. Tried once and have failed. And I can tell you, this book is for the hopeless. This book is for people who have come to an end of themselves. If you've got your Bible, would you turn with me to Psalm 40? And I'm going to read five verses there. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us ward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. May I just pray as we come to his precious word. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God, and I thank you for the Spirit of God. And I pray, Lord, you'll take the things of Christ and reveal him to us, that we may have words to hide in our heart which will last us for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I know it's not the 1st of January, but I'm going to take you back to the 1st of January. And I'm going to take you back, I just thought randomly, I'll take you back 134 years. So I hope you don't mind. Some of you may have been there, I don't know. But the 1st of January, 1885, don't say the kettle black, 134 years ago, and Spurgeon preached on this on the first day of the year. And he took a text from Revelation 21:5, which says, "Behold, I make all things new." And this is what he wrote. "Many may be pleased to escape from what has been to many 12 months of great trial. The last year had become wheezy, croaking, and in its old age. Here we have a newborn year. At least it's new, and we are encouraged to couple it with the idea of happiness, so we say, have a happy new year. We as Christians," he writes, "worship a God who is ever the same. The old, old gospel is the newest thing in the world. In its very essence, it is forever good news. In the things of God, the old is ever new." And that's this precious word of God. And I think it's prudent for you and for me to take stock of this coming year, to remember where we have come from. The psalmist writes, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings." That was David. And if you feel in your life that you cannot cope on your own, if you feel you've come to an end of yourself, the Word of God is for you. And I want to bring you five things that God is able to do in your life in the year 2019. I don't care how much of a knot you're in and how much of a difficulty in. You look at me and you say, "Well, he's dressed nicely today. He's got a tie on." But you don't know my life. I'd have to tell you that since I've been a teenager, I've needed Jesus Christ. And there's not one of us who can go on a proud pedestal. We all need Jesus Christ. God offers a new life. And there's a lovely verse in Jeremiah, which I like. It says in Jeremiah 18:4, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." And so I put it to you that Jesus Christ is the only one who you could say is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here's number one, what my God is able to do for you in 2019. God is able to deliver you. That's a promise of God. He is able to deliver you. If you will let him, then he will deliver you. He was able to deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They knew what God was able to do in the book of Daniel. They knew he was able. And they even knew that if they weren't saved from the fiery furnace, that God would ultimately deal and deliver them. In Daniel 3, verse 17 and 18, it says this: "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." My. What a challenge for you and for me this year to move closer to God, to give up ungodly living. He may not heal that illness. There may be a circumstance which does not change at this moment, but ultimately, God will deliver. I bless his name. And I just want to mention the word preach. I've heard people say, well, talk, yes, but preach. But I read in my Bible that the word preach or preaching occurs, well, I picked out 133 times. And it actually means to proclaim, to herald. I mean, I nearly had a heart attack once in Chester when the town crier set off right by me. I had no idea. And he said, "Oh, yay! Oh, yay!" Oh. I had to be picked up nearly. But preaching is to declare with confidence and persuasion that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. And if it's based on God's word, it has authority when the word of God is declared. It's binding. It's goodness. It's for us. What did he say in Mark 16:15? "Go into all the world and preach, proclaim the gospel to every creature." And Peter said in Acts 10:42, he commanded us to preach unto the people. We are to declare the whole counsel of God to whosoever. So I would publicly and in all seriousness say to you, my God, God of this book, is able to deliver you. What a truth. What a truth. But we must start the new year in the right way. We may have tried once and failed, tried twice and failed. But Jesus says to you and me, we must be born again. It's no good just living on the good ethics of the Bible. You've got to meet Jesus Christ for yourself. The great politician William Wilberforce spoke of the great danger of just living as best one can on Christian ethics. He said they had no power. Practical deeds did not come first, but should be born out of the truths of the gospel. This great politician, he spoke of the doctrines of human depravity, divine judgment, the work of Christ on the cross, justification by faith, regeneration by the Holy Spirit, and then the practical necessity of the fruit from that life. William Wilberforce said it was a fatal habit to consider Christian morals as distinct from Christian salvation, because we cannot live up to this book without the converting power of God in our lives. We must turn from sin and put our trust in Him and Him alone. Politics. My word, we've had some politics, haven't we? And we've got more politics coming. Well, who would think when you were in a great political turmoil, who would think what you would find beneficial if you were a Christian? William Wilberforce memorized by heart Psalm 119. What a bad choice. Goodness me. 176 verses. And he walked from Hyde Park to Parliament with that pressed in his heart. And I don't care what your situation is, take God's word to your heart. He is able to deliver you. He'd faced all sorts of pressure, which went on for years and years and years and years. And we don't know why he wanted to press these words to his heart, but he memorized them. And he quoted them to his heart as he walked to Parliament. That man, he had a campaign for 26 years against the slave trade, and until its passage of the Trade Act in 1807. He found Christ as his own personal saviour. Secondly, God is able to fulfill his promises. He's able to fulfill his promises. Abraham, we're told in Romans, it says this in Romans 4:19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. That's lovely. Not only those promises for this earth, but Hebrews tells us about promises on the other side of the grave. These, it says in Hebrews 11:13, these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. The world that you and I live with and see on the television is not the world of God. Promises are not the same. Somebody wrote, broken vows are like broken mirrors. They leave those who held them to them bleeding and staring at fractured images of themselves. There's a Danish proverb which says, eggs and oaths are easily broken. Edgar Howe said, half the promises people say were never kept and were never made. Jonathan Swift said, promises and pie crusts are made to be broken. And I think every one of you can join in your heart with people who have broken their promises to you and promises you have made that you've not been faithful to. As I come to the end of this second point, I'm going to give you two lovely promises for 2019. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isn't that a lovely promise to take into 2019? And here's one. Oh, it's so precious. So precious to Donald. So precious to you, I trust. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. How lovely to hear you just saying that to yourselves. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's the third one. God is able to guard your treasure. What you have been doing for God, God is able to guard it. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." If you are a Christian, what you have been doing for Christ is not forgotten. It is all recorded in glory. And I think there's a tremendous value to read about men and women who have loved the Lord Jesus Christ over the centuries. And I am amazed. I pick up a book going back years and years and I read it and I see their testimonies of these people. And you know how they express their love for the Lord and how the Lord has dealt with them. They see them just like I find them. And they're now dead and gone, but I can read what they've written. And I encourage you, have a look at some of these people. They've got faults. Some have got really glaring problems. But over it all, they love the Lord. Let me give you some names. Charles Wesley, John Whitfield, William Tyndale, George Whitfield, John Wesley, Andrew Fuller, Hudson Taylor, George Herbert, J.C. Ryle, Robert Murray McChaney, C.S. Lewis, Bill Piper, Athanasius, George Muller, Adoram Judson, William Wilberforce, John Newton, John Patton, John Bunyan, Augustine, John Calvin, Martin Luther, Charles Spurgeon, John Owen, J. Gratian Machin, William Cooper, Martin Lloyd-Jones, David Brainerd, Charles Simeon, Jonathan Edwards. See what these have done in their lives and what they've written and how they can speak to you and to me. What should I read in 2019? Well, I'd take Spurgeon's advice. He said, visit many good books, but live in the Bible. Live in your Bible. Get to know your Bible from cover to cover. And I smiled. I was reading in preparing my sermon a couple of weeks ago about C.S. Lewis. And he said this: "It is a good rule after reading a new book never to allow yourself another new one till you've read an old one. In between. If that is too much for you, you should at least read one old one to every three new ones. Look back, look back." He said that, now this seems to me topsy-turvy. "Naturally, since I myself am a writer, I do not wish the ordinary reader not to read modern books, but he mustn't read just the new, but the old. I would advise him, read the old, and I would give him this advice precisely because he's an amateur and therefore much less protected than the expert against the dangers of exclusive contemporary diet. A new book is still on its trial, and the amateur should not be in a position to judge. It has been tested against the great body of Christian thought down the ages, and all its hidden implications have to be brought to light. It is a good rule after reading a new book never to allow yourself another new one till you've read an old one." There's something in that. Read what God has done in the lives of other people. Saints who of old who've devoted their lives in the service of Jesus Christ were persuaded that God is able to keep their treasure. What did Jesus say in Matthew 6:21? "For where your treasure is," I just love to hear you whisper the scripture with me, "for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And has this occurred to you? It occurred to me more as I've got older. I thought of it when I was having my cataracts taken out. I thought, Donald, you're getting on. And I should tell you that they've told me my vision now is better than 20/20. They've told me that I have the eyesight of a fighter pilot. It's true. I'm just looking for the fighter. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this. This is what I thought. Donald, your life, you'll soon be for your maker. And that's true of every one of us. And Paul said to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Number four, God is able to save to the uttermost. That is a wonderful, wonderful truth. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the utmost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The message, the gospel message, is not popular. In fact, it's hated. Benjamin Franklin, who commented a lot about his friend George Whitefield, he said that George Whitefield was so charitable in his day-to-day life. He said Whitefield practiced what he preached. But when Whitefield preached in the open air, he had such opposition. Some people took their clothes off to get him to stop preaching and to distract. One occasion, they urinated on him. On another occasion, they drove horses. It was not popular. And what about our Lord's first sermon? Was that popular? It says his family were around. He was in, this is his first time we're told in Scripture. What does the Scripture say in Luke 4? They wanted to kill him. They heard him and they wanted to kill him. And it says in Luke 4:28, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong to his death. Our country is in a terrible mess. We need Jesus Christ. I read in the Times on Saturday, the 29th of December last year, the number of people aged above 50 receiving hospital treatment for taking drugs has quadrupled in the past decade. The Royal College of Psychiatrists say that the NHS services are struggling to cope with the huge increase in older drug users, particularly driven by baby boomers continuing the hedonistic lifestyle of their youth. Last year, 7,800 people aged above 55 were admitted to hospital with drug-related mental or behavioral disorders. Just terrible. Just so sad. And I cannot tickle your ears with what I'd call synthetic seed. I must give you the Word of God and what the Word of God says. I must tell you the gospel message. It's not popular, and people who don't accept it find it offensive. But without Jesus, there is eternal punishment. We need a Savior. God's description of that state is given by Isaiah in Isaiah 1:6. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there be no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. That is the state of mankind, the utter depravity of man. What did you do Christmas Day? Oh, I could make you smile. In our house, in our son's house, the story was all about the turkey. How long should it be in? What temperature should it be? Can we get it in the oven? What do you think, Mum? What do you think? Well, one of my granddaughters is a vegetarian, and I'm a vegetarian, so we just smiled as they talked about it all. And by the time they'd got the whole thing sorted out, by Boxing Day, they said, we don't like turkey. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But you know, because they brought a new system in the United Kingdom, I think in the summertime, 13 people sat down in front of their computer and they filed for online divorce on Christmas Day in England and Wales. They were among 455 online divorce applications submitted to HM Courts and Tribunal Service between Christmas Eve and New Year's Day. 26 people submitted applications on Christmas Eve, 23 on Boxing Day. And I'm talking about the new year. This year, 1st of January, 77 people applied online to start proceedings for divorce. I've come with good news. The word of God is that if a man or woman will give themselves to Jesus Christ, he will save them and he will change them. He asks us to turn from our sin, to repent and to face him. He asks us to trust him and to love him, to abhor the things that we should not be doing and to ask him to help us. Jesus Christ died for my sin and your sin, and I preach, I proclaim, I herald that he will save all who come to him. Doesn't matter who you are, and it doesn't matter what you are. I like what Paul Washer says. He says, all that has stood in the way of God and his people since the fall of Adam has been abolished. Through the redeeming work of Christ, sin has been punished, justice has been satisfied, and a perfect righteousness has been imputed. And since Donald has come to Christ, when God looks at me, he sees the righteousness of Christ. And therefore my boast is in him. And if you are a Christian, your boast for 2019 is that God sees Christ's righteousness in my life. What a message. What a message. And the way he talks to us is just so lovely. He says in Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You're listening to this recording? Same God. Call upon him. Call upon his love. And here's the fifth thing. My God, he is able to keep you from falling. That is a wonderful, wonderful truth to hold on to. Jude 24 says this, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And Paul to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. My God is in the business of taking care of his own. My God is in the business of taking care of you, if you will trust him alone. And then you'll be like David in Psalm 40. He brought me out of a miry pit and set my feet on a rock and established my goings. Now, modern thought is not like that. Modern thought is not like that. It's a form of, I don't know what to say, radical or ultra-nationalism, dictatorial powers. You can't tell your child what you want, we'll tell you. Forcible suppression of opposition, regimentation of society, let the state deal with it. It's like I can only call it a form of paganism, really. What is paganism? Well, the answer is not really difficult. It's the view of life which finds the highest goal of human existence in the healthy and harmonious and joyous development of existing human faculties. That's very difficult. That's very different from the Christian ideal. Paganism is optimism with regard to unaided human nature, whereas Christianity is the religion of the broken heart, where you first have to come to an end of yourselves. Christianity means that sin is faced once for all and then is cast by the grace of God forever into the depths of the sea. They say, of course, that you can have your religious freedom, and I thank God that we have freedom here to preach the gospel and have doors which are open. But they don't like it if the gospel is heard in public places. You don't hear it that often. The world is telling me that I can be whatever I would like to be. What do you feel like being today, Donald? Whatever I feel is right for me, without any reference to God's word. In other words, self-fulfillment. But God's way is not self-fulfillment, it is self-denial. Luke 9:23, and he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I'd like to just dwell on that moment, that word deny, which is exact opposite to the ideology we hear today. In my Bible, when it says deny himself, the Greek bears the thought to refuse to be associated with the person you were. We are to walk in newness of life. Yes, I have my old ways. Yes, I have my old nature. But in Christ, I do not want to be associated with that man. I want to walk in Christ, to affirm that one has no acquaintance or no connection with someone, to forget oneself and one's own interests, and to deal with the interests of Jesus Christ. This new year, 2019, consider the hours. Do you waste them? Do you know, William Wilberforce, before he came to Christ, he said he was absolutely disgusted with the time he had wasted before he came to Christ. 2019, don't waste the hours. Do you know, a divided heart is misery. Partial trust is distrust. And as I close, and as we think of these promises which God is able to fulfill in our life, will you commit your life to Christ? Will you fall in love with Jesus Christ again? What does a man and woman say to each other when they marry? Have me all in all, or not at all, is a requirement of all deep human love. And shall God ask less than men and women ask for and give to one another? Our basis is the cross. He died on the cross for our sin. He died, and he bodily rose from the dead, and he is alive forevermore. If you're a Christian, there are two types of Christian. I'm not going to say this word right, but I'm among friends. You're not going to hold me to it. But I think the word would be an adrenal Christian. I mean the sort of person who hears something, comes to a meeting, and you're worshipping, and you say, oh, this is lovely. But it's like a rocket that goes off, and it lands over there. Just gone. I wouldn't like you to be that rush of adrenaline in your life. 2019 is calling for Christians who are faithful and are not just a burst, but a firm decision and conviction in your heart that I'm going to serve God and I am not going to waste my time. Or the other Christian I'd like to put to you is the heart Christian. Just like our heart each day, you know, our heart never gets offended at what you say. It's just lub-dub. 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 Lub-da. Your heart is the most dutiful servant in your life. I have never, ever, in any place I've ever been, had my heart turn to me and say, I don't like your attitude, I quit. Lub-dub. 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 The doors of Penrhyl were opened this morning by someone. A lovely cup of coffee in a minute. In here, somebody's done that. The lights have been on. Lub-dub. Lub-dub. Oh, to be consistent. Oh, to be consistent and faithful before the Lord. I've never had my heart say, well, look, I am just not happy with you, Donald. I am basically, I'm not going to serve you anymore. Never had that. Never had that. As I come to a close, I'd like to put it to you, a picture I saw as we were walking one day past a luscious, luscious field. The field was quite extensive, and one cow had pushed its head through some barbed wires. And the poor cow, on its, I don't know if you, its forehead, the wire was pressing in, and it was reaching, and there was about 6 inches of grass by the dirty road. It was murky. It was disgusting. And behind, the cow had a wonderful, wonderful field. And Christians, I can tell you, the world, I don't care how you're fooled, the world has nothing for you. There is no fulfillment and eternal joy to be found. And instead of pressing our mind into the ways of the world and trying to grab something which is marred and spoilt, when the blessing of God in your life is just wonderful, take hold of the things of God. Get to know Jesus Christ. Edward Mote said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Oh, to be contented, contented in Christ. Do you know, Augustine, before he met Christ, he was absolutely consumed with lust. He just lived a terrible, hedonistic life. And then one day he was reading in Romans 13:13, and it just jumped out to him. And the verse says, let us walk properly, as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. And you know what he found? When he found the joy of Jesus Christ, had a lovely expression. I wish I could have thought it's lovely. He said, he called it sober intoxication. Sober intoxication. And oh, how we can stimulate each other. When I'm just not feeling right, I look at you and I see you praying and you're praising God in the prayer meeting. I say to myself, I want the same. May 2019 be the time for sober intoxication. Oh, John Piper, God is most sanctified in us when we are most satisfied in him. What are the 5 things I wanted to say in 2019? The first thing, he's able to deliver. He's able to deliver you. Secondly, he's able to fulfill his promises. Thirdly, He's able to guard your treasure. Fourthly, he's able to save to the uttermost. And fifthly, he's able to keep you from falling. I pray that in this fellowship, we will encourage one another in the things of God and cause it provoke each other to go on with God. And if you've come from another fellowship, I pray you'll return and with the thoughts of Scripture in your heart, be a great blessing. If you are backslidden and have been doing some of the things which you know you shouldn't, or your time has been wasted, will you resolve to put it right? Or you're sitting here and you say to me, I am in a most terrible, terrible, knotted mess. I believe God can help you. And I also believe if you do not know Christ, he will save you. So in 2019, what a wonderful promise God has for us. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your precious word to us. I thank you, Lord, that you speak by your Holy Spirit. I pray that your name might be glorified and we might be resolved to walk that bit closer, to protect our time, to have discernment, to read your Bible, to live in your Bible, and to give you praise and glory. We do not know what 2019 comes, what a change can be. For some of us, great blessings. For some of us, trials and difficulties. But Lord, we want to hold your hand that much more. Finally, Lord, would you bless Freddie? Have your hands upon this man. Bless him abundantly as he pastors this work. In Jesus' name, amen.